And welcome back to YCSO Behind the Badge. I'm Deputy Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer for the York County Sheriff's Office and also your host. And as usual, we always encourage you to go to our website, yorkcountysheriff.com. Sign up for those Notify Me alerts so you don't miss out anything happening here with news releases and information through our website. Also, if you haven't signed up, go check us out on our social media pages. That's another way that you can get your information for us. And I got to apologize for no podcast last week. Because if you keep up with news, we were fairly busy last weekend with a few things. Hailstorms, storms, other officer-involved things that we're not going to mention on the podcast this week. But just did not have a chance to record one. So that podcast was supposed to be about the new constitutional carry law. We're going to have our staff attorney, Heather Muzan, and Buddy Brown come in and talk about that. But you're going to have to wait 2 weeks. May 15th, that is the week we're going to catch up on that podcast, because the next week is National Corrections Officers Week. And so we're going to have some detention officers come in and talk to us next week on the podcast. But we're here today, right now, at the time of this podcast recording, it is April 29th. You're listening to it on May 1st. April was Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and if you remember earlier, we had some folks from to talk about Sexual Assault Awareness Month and everything like that. It was a whole house full of people. I mean, we had like 20 people in this room. I'm being facetious, but we had a lot of people in my little tiny office talking about that. But today I only have two, which only one of them is going to talk to you. We have two people in the room today, and we're going to talk about the SANE Nurse Program at the Piedmont Medical Center, because it has something to do with Sexual Assault Awareness Month, even though it's May 1st. So, all right, the person that you're going to hear from is Jessica Stillwell, correct?
Correct.
And she is the SANE program coordinator for Piedmont Medical Center. And so I was telling you beforehand, it's like there's, as a PIO, I'm supposed to know a lot or a little bit about everything.
Right.
I know what SANE stands for, but I have no idea what you do. And I'm almost kind of glad I don't know to a point. So, Jessica, tell us what SANE is an acronym for something. So won't you tell us what SANE is the acronym for, and give us a little bit about that program?
Yes. So thank you for having me. SANE stands for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. Mm-hmm. So I'm the SANE coordinator for Piedmont Medical Center and our three emergency departments, Rock Hill, Gold Hill, and Fort Mill. Mm-hmm. So what we do as SANE nurses is we have 10 right now for all three emergency departments, and we cover patients or survivors who come in of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. So when they come in, we do evidence collection if it's within the time frame. We handle protocols for Piedmont and for SLED. We follow all of SLED's protocols. And we're really kind of an advocate to get safe passage involved, to get police involved if they want to report, if they're 18 or older. So we handle adolescent and adult cases. We do handle some pediatric cases, but we're doing more training to get more pediatric ready. So.
So you work really close with Safe Passage.
Work really close with Safe Passage. They come in on all of our cases, regardless of age, and they are an advocate for the survivor. So they will sit there while we're doing our exam or while we're doing our interview and really kind of be there for the survivor in that moment.
Because the Safe Passage is who we had on the podcast earlier this month. So it kind of works out great that you're here now.
Yes.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a traumatic event.
It is.
You work really close with Sergeant Amy Smith, who is our Special Victims Unit supervisor. Tell us about that. How do you get to work with her?
So I met her through being the SANE coordinator. I came to take over this program in 2020, and she was the first one that I kind of met as far as sexual assault investigators go. Mm-hmm. And since she works with the county, if we have someone who is 18 or older and they decide that they want to have evidence collected and they want the protocol followed, but they're just not ready to press charges, that's called an anonymous case. Mm-hmm. So all of our anonymous cases go to the county. And depending on where the assault happens, dictates what police department we will work with. And a lot of those cases happen within the county that she covers. So I work very closely with her to let her know when we have survivors there, if they want to report, where they are in the process of going to trial, the meeting with the solicitors. So we all just have like a nice little network that we all keep in touch.
Well, that's good, because to give everybody a heads up, Amy had training today. So that's why she is not with us.
Yes.
So we do a lot of training at the sheriff's office. Everybody's going to training, training, training. We had training last week. Our sword class is down at the range this week doing rifle week for our sworn officer readiness development school for before they head to the academy. But everybody's doing training. So Amy apologizes for not being here for the podcast. So, I mean, without, let's go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. This is, I mean, how do you tell somebody, hey, yes, you've just had a very traumatic experience. This, what we're about to do, could be a little more traumatic for you.
It is.
How does that work? I mean.
So it's, the good thing about when a patient comes in or a survivor comes into the emergency department and we have the same nurses, it's one-on-one care. So it's one nurse and one patient. Whereas in a normal patient assignment for an ER nurse, they may have multiple patients to care for. When these patients show up into the emergency department, it's going to be one nurse and one patient. So right off the bat, the care is focused. The nurse is very focused on that patient. The nurses, the same nurses that we have been through a 40-hour class where they are taught compassion, where they are taught how to speak to survivors, what to say, what not to say to give them time. We work very closely with Safe Passage and police. So we do trauma-informed care. So we attempt to make sure we have everybody there at one time so that the survivor only has to give their story one time.
Okay.
That's not always how it happens. It just depends on when somebody shows up, if they're working another case. But we work really hard to try to make sure that the survivor doesn't have to relive it too many times.
I know it's kind of in the emergency room. You know, people's minds go to an emergency room setting. Lots of people, lots of nurses, lots of doctors, lots of sick people.
Yes.
Do you have something that you take them away from all that to do that?
So we have a room that we utilize mostly for our sexual assault cases, and it's a very closed off room. It's still within the emergency department, but it's closed off by a very thick wooden door. It has its own bathroom setting in it. Everything is within that room so that the nurse can go in there, and if she has to leave, it will only be for a moment to grab something, but the patient goes in that room immediately and doesn't leave that room until they're discharged or whatever happens after that. So,
I mean, that's a hospital setting is, it's tough as it is.
It is.
So it's good that you have that kind of setting. And we were talking about it beforehand. We have now a soft interview room outside of the inner confines of the sheriff's office where, you know, people see law enforcement agency. If you come back here, if hey, Citizens Academy applications come out in November 2024, so keep an eye on that. You get to take a tour of the area here.
Nice.
Very gray wall, very hard feeling, I guess. But they created a soft interview room out in the lobby, so if somebody is a victim of a crime or sexual assault or something, you put them in a safe location, something that's a little more easy on them to feel like they can open up a little bit. Is that kind of similar?
It is kind of similar. It is still an emergency department room, but our nurses do a great job at making sure that the patient feels comfortable, warm blankets. If they want somebody at their bedside, if it's a family member, they can have that. If they don't want anybody at the bedside, they don't have to have that either.
Okay.
So the nurse really kind of works with the survivor to make sure that that environment is as comfortable as it can be.
As it can be.
As it can be, It's traumatic when they come in. It's usually very acute. For adolescent and adults, we can handle a case up to 120 hours after the assault. For pediatric patients, it's 36 hours. So within those time frames is when we can pull the evidence. We can do the paperwork and get the police involved if they need to be involved. So it's still very fresh in the survivor's mind what happened. So we try to just keep the area as calm as possible.
And you said it was just victim and nurse. So you won't have like a detective in the room as all this is going on. It's not, mean, because it's already been traumatic for them. They wouldn't have somebody, like a whole bunch of prying eyes.
Right. We Does that make so sense? I encourage my nurses to run the room, mm-hmm. Make sure only the necessary people are in there so mm-hmm. that it doesn't feel like it's such an observation room where the survivor is just being looked at.
Right.
So when she is getting the survivor's accounts of the assault, if safe passage is available at that time and if the detectives are available at that time, they'll come together mm-hmm. With the survivor's consent and say, okay, tell us your story. And then once that's done, then they clear the room so the nurse can be one-on-one with the provider to do any kind of physical exam that mm-hmm. needs to happen and then finish out the paperwork.
Sad. Sad you have to do it in the first place.
It is.
But it's necessary evil, I guess, correct. Or good. Am I getting that right? A necessary good? But it's necessary because, I mean, it's just this is how we are able to get the bad guy in jail.
Right.
Or bad gal. Or bad person.
It could be one of them.
It could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
I mean, is that a thing? Like, I mean, male, female?
It is a thing.
Okay.
So for South Carolina, for instance, every 68 seconds, someone is assaulted in America, right? So according to SCDVASA, which is our South Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Patients, 1 out of 6 women and 1 out of 10 males are assaulted in South Carolina. So in 2023, there were over 3,500 cases.
My gosh. I mean, I guess that's what some people think. It's just all females.
Right.
Mostly, I'm sure.
Right.
But 1 out of 10 mm-hmm. males.
Yes.
Do you have different procedures for, like, male versus female? I mean.
So, we're based on the accounts of the assault, mm-hmm. will dictate how we pull the DNA evidence.
Okay.
So, the procedures would be different for male and female, but it's really all based of the account of what happened during the assault.
Because you'll have to, are you in a way, I mean, we have the detectives that are going to do the questioning and everything, but are you a detective of sorts where you take account of like what they told
yes.
you and tell the detective, I guess, is that
yes.
what I'm trying
to say? Yes, so the sane nurse's role is not to decide whether somebody is guilty or not.
Right.
The sane nurse's role is to provide the evidence to police departments mm-hmm. in order for them to do the investigation. So as a sane nurse, when somebody comes in, I'm going to have a DNA kit and I'm going to have the SLED protocol paperwork that go along with that kit. And that paperwork has a lot of questions on there of when it happened, how it happened, what is your account of that. The solicitor's office will take that paperwork and take it to trial.
Mm.
And recently we've had sane nurses testify that have proven that the assailant was guilty mm-hmm. based off of her testimony. So, and based off of that paperwork. So it's very important for the nurse to have all of the information as much as possible from the survivor in order to move forward in the trial.
Glad you mentioned that. A couple of years ago, were you there when I helped Sabrina Gast, our county coroner? She wanted a video made for how the courtroom setting is. Were you there when I filmed that?
I wasn't there.
Okay,
no.
Cool. I couldn't remember. I know there was a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
And so Sabrina Gast, the county coroner, she wanted a video to prepare the sane nurses
yes.
on what a courtroom setting was like. Mm-hmm. Like, over here is where the jury will be, and over here is where the defense will be, and then over here is where the prosecution will be. Kind of a map, a road map.
Yes.
I guess you have to prepare your sane nurses for that, too.
We do.
Because
so
you have to testify in court.
I work really closely with Sabrina Gast, because she's mm-hmm. also the South Carolina Statewide Forensic Nurse Examiner.
No, that's true. She was a sane nurse all before she became coroner.
She was. So I really follow what she says. We follow the FNE for South Carolina. And when they sit through the 40-hour class, we just had one last year, Gina Goss taught that,
mm-hmm.
They talk to them about going through trial when you have to testify. The solicitor's office will meet with the nurse beforehand
mm-hmm.
And go over the documents. So you do have to prepare them for trial
yeah.
so that they are not uncomfortable.
Because especially it's like, you know, I guess, you know, being the one-on-one setting, mm-hmm. the HIPAA rules involved in this? You know, kind of like you can't get into that because we were one-on-one in the room and she did this, and I can't get into that because of HIPAA or something
so
like that?
So it's because of, when we also have consent. So yeah. when a survivor comes in, we have a specific consent that is signed by the survivor that allows the SANE nurse to do the forensic exam, to speak with police, to speak with Safe Passage, so that they can move forward and do the investigation. So that allows the nurse to be able to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So there are protocols in place to make sure that everything is covered. So, defense attorneys are good at what they do.
That's right.
I'm just saying. I mean, we just had a case go to court last week where the person who was on trial for something bad was found not guilty because the defense attorneys are good at what they do.
Correct.
But our prosecutors are also good at what they do.
Yes, they are.
And our detectives are really good at what they do, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yes, they are.
You can go look at the news, folks, if you want to figure out what I'm talking about. It happened last week. But anyway, you work really well with the solicitor's office.
Yes.
So you can get the best case forward for your victim.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that works out good. So, do you keep up with the folks after the fact? Because, you're having a pretty, that's a moment. You know, they've had a traumatic moment. Mm-hmm. They're looking for somebody to be there and listen to them after their traumatic moment, saying all this is done and over with. Do you still continue kind of a relationship? Like, hey, I just want to make sure you check. You're good? Are you good? Kind of afterwards?
A lot of times after the fact, the nurses don't have that opportunity because things can be stretched out for so long.
Right.
A lot of times the cases take 2 or 3 years to go to court.
What?
Some go faster.
Sorry.
So a lot, and nurses kind of come and go out of the emergency department. Mm-hmm. We do, however, when one does go to trial, they contact the nurse. The nurse is able to find out then, they may see the victim and, how are you doing, things like that. But typically once we do a case and they leave the emergency department, it takes so long we never hear what happens.
It's because, we always talk about, when you always see those cases where, the person gets to meet the person afterwards and everything.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'd be something later on you can come up with.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's how it is in emergency care. We, as emergency nurses, we stabilize to help the patient along their medical journey. And a lot of times we don't get to hear, but we're those forefront people who just in that moment are able to give that great bedside care. And then they go on to healing after that.
Well, that's another, like Buddy Brown, after he was shot in January,
right.
2018, it took him 5 years to actually meet the medical team that actually saved his life.
That's right.
And he learned a lot 5 years later. He gets with some guy was like, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. you bled out and they took something off. And then everybody, we got you fixed up. And he was like, I didn't know that.
I know. It's always so chaotic. And a lot of times people don't remember those emergency people right there, but we remember.
Sorry, somebody is calling me.
Okay.
It happens. I forgot to turn my phone on.
I know.
Whatever. It happens. It's Monday. Actually, Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Yeah, this is Wednesday.
So what else? What else do people need to know about the SANE nurses? You're there to be a
person. We are there. Yeah, we are there. We are open. We do cases in all three emergency departments.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a loved one that has gone through this and needs that acute care, we're there. We're working to get our safe designation level 1, which is what I would like to have. So that works with the South Carolina Forensic Nurse Examiner's Office. And that basically dictates that we have the resources available to handle sexual assaults that come in and domestic violence too.
Right.
So in order to do that, we need to get more pediatric training, which is hopefully coming at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll have sexual assault nurses for all age groups. So the program is growing tremendously. I have 10 SANE nurses now that we cover call.
Wow. 10?
We have 10.
Sad that you need 10. And it's sad that you have to do the pediatric stuff.
Correct.
And we'll just leave it at that. But we have good people, good detectives to find out those kind of things. People
and then our registered nurses, if they haven't gone through the SANE training, they are competencied in pulling evidence and doing the protocol paperwork. So they will be available. if there's not a SANE nurse there.
I just thought it's like you said level one. Mm-hmm. Like what are the levels?
So it's level one, two, and three. Okay. And it's really kind of, so level one would be the highest because you have the most availability to a sexual assault nurse.
Right.
Level two and level three, those are kind of, they don't have the pediatric part, or maybe it's a very rural hospital that they don't have SANE nurses. According to Attorney General's Office for South Carolina, you need to be an RN, and SANE training is extra. So any RN in the state can pull evidence and do the protocol paperwork, but you really want that extra SANE training,
right,
for, you know, trials, for the bedside care and things like that.
That's what I was going to say. You just don't want any, I mean, nurses are nurses because they they care for people and they love people and they want to help people and
that's right,
do that. But I guess the extra training helps with that bedside manner versus, I mean, I'm sure a regular, somebody who hasn't been trained would have the same kind of empathy and understanding about what somebody went through, but somebody who's been through a specific training would have a little more, like you said earlier, some would know what to say,
right,
and how to say it, and
and that's the beauty of emergency care. So our nurses can have different trainings. So you can have a SANE trained nurse. You can have a trauma nurse that handles, you know, trauma victims from car wrecks and things like that. Some nurses are work great with our behavioral health unit. Some nurses work great with stroke patients. So it's just an extra thing to have those SANE nurses available.
And you're about, you got 10.
We have 10.
And you plan on getting more.
I am working very hard. So that is part of the SAFE designation is that they allow more training. We work, it'll work closely with Piedmont EMS or the surrounding EMS to, if they come across a victim out in the field, they can start right there with preserving evidence, start with a compassionate care there before they're transported to the emergency department. So the SAFE designation level would help with that training also.
So you said it's like what? You said 120 hours?
120 hours post the assault for adolescent and adults and 36 for pediatric patients.
So what would be something like, say, 121 hours? Is there a way you can kind of still help somebody after the fact? I mean,
absolutely.
I guess the evidence is because the 120 hours time frame, right?
Right. And that's not always, just because it is within the 120 hours, there's a lot of different things that can dictate whether we can pull evidence or not. And that's the beauty of a SANE nurse, is that they've been through the training to decide, okay, so maybe we're at 96 hours, but this has happened. Maybe the patient has, the victim has showered, or maybe they don't have certain articles of clothing that we need. Are we going to be able to really pull evidence at that time? So it's very situational based, and the SANE nurses have the training to decide what they can and can't do within a time frame.
And the evidence, you, when you pull it, I mean, we don't want to give the bad, like one of our detectives, like we, lieutenant says, we don't want to make better bad guys. So we don't want to tell people what you do,
that's
like
right,
where you pull that evidence from. But just know that there are people, if you're listening, you're trained to know where to find it. And it may not be in the most obvious places that,
that people
who are thinking of right now.
Correct.
So, so I guess that's what part of the training is too, that you know how to pull it from places that are elsewhere.
Elsewhere. Good word. Elsewhere.
I want to say it, but I just wanted, I mean, but you know, I, like we said, we don't want to make better bad guys.
That's right.
Or gals, because you are good at what you do.
Yes. So.
All right. Cool. Anything else folks need to know about the SANE program at Piedmont? I mean, be so traumatic to happen to you happens today, and you don't call us first, somebody could walk in there and say, look, this is what's happened.
Yes.
I haven't called the police yet.
90% of our cases walk in from the through the front doors of the emergency department. They're not brought in by EMS. When they walk in, they're immediately greeted by a nurse who is our triage nurse. If they make the statement that they have been sexually assaulted, so we kind of stop the line there.
Okay.
We get the patient back into the main part of the emergency department as soon as possible so that one-on-one care can start. And then we can handle call and safe passage, calling DSS if needed, and we'll call the police department where the assault happened. So the SANE nurse is trained to call, to get that ball rolling so that everybody can come to the hospital and care for that survivor.
You said 90% of people come straight to the emergency room?
Yeah, just walk in.
That's wild. I mean, you would think that, I don't know, I'm in law enforcement. You would think. I mean, my first call would be to 911.
Right.
But I mean, that's crazy that 90% of the cases of folks come in,
they do,
straight to the emergency center.
It is, and it's because it's not. Everybody has this idea that sexual assault is like the movies, maybe, and there's, you know, horrific injuries, and they have to be seen by a doctor right in that moment. When really, it's maybe somebody's ex-boyfriend or maybe somebody's ex-girlfriend, and they came over to see them, or maybe somebody's uncle. It's, you know, it's always a situation that it is so far-fetched that you're like, this is insane. And they're fine. They just have to walk in and look for that care.
And if they go past the 120 hours, there's still things that can be done.
Yes. So the evidence, we might not be able to pull the DNA evidence, but we can still file reports.
Yeah.
We can still do the SLED paperwork. We work really close also with Department of Crime Victims Compensation here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
If the assault happened in South Carolina, they help take care of the financial aspect of coming into the emergency department. So we file that paperwork also, so that hopefully that won't be one more burden that they have to take on after an assault.
You take all the weight, the most of the weight off of them as far as paperwork and talking and stuff like that, which is probably something that they don't want to have to deal with when they're in after a traumatic incident would have happened. So that's the benefit. Of course, they're going to have to deal with all the post-traumatic incident.
Lots of healing afterwards.
Yeah, and there's people with you and Safe Passage, and there's things out there to help folks. So, well, cool. I mean, look at that. What is 25 minutes in.
Wow.
I told you.
Okay.
I told you. Anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap this up?
I think that's it.
That's amazing.
We're working really hard at Piedmont.
Yeah, and you work really hard with us. And then, like I said, Amy, Sergeant Smith wanted to come in and be here, kind of like say, hey, yeah, we work really close together.
We'll
forgive her. Yeah, I know. she had training today. Like I said, lots of training going on.
That's a good thing.
You know, if you're the person sitting next to you was in her old profession, we would have told her about something.
That's right.
Renee O'Neill. Guess what? Renee O'Neill, if anybody remembers the name, she used to work for a little cable news organization. And now she works for Piedmont Medical Center. And she is over here doing the things. And she's the one that set it up.
Yes.
Because you got her before I did.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I'd really worked hard with the sheriff to get her to come work here. And it just didn't work out that way. So anyway, cool.
We are excited to have her.
Jessica, thank you for coming by the podcast. And, you know, opening up the eyes of folks who may not understand the world of, I mean, this portion of the world of sexual assault.
Right.
And there is help. And there's ways to get past the traumatic incident that you've had. And so hopefully folks will know in the future what they need to do and how they need to do it to get the help they need.
Right.
And there's help for them if they feel like they can't talk about it or they feel like there's nothing they can do.
Right.
There are things that people can do have things done to help them start the healing process.
That's right.
So, cool. Well, thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you
very much. And thank you, Renee, for setting this up, because it was good. It was good. It was good. Good stuff for folks to learn about, especially after April being Sexual Assault Awareness Month and knowing that there's options out there for folks. So, all right, folks, that'll wrap it up for this week. Remember, go check us out on our social media pages. We'll share this on all the Piedmont Medical Center stuff. And we'll get folks to listen to this as many as we can. Share it with your friends. Share the episode. We'll have it on our social media pages. But please go out and do it the old-fashioned way. Don't just share it on your Facebook page. Go talk to somebody. Go say, hey, face-to-face, you should go check out this podcast. It's on the Sheriff's Office website, page, Facebook. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of them. Go check it out. Do what you need to do. But before you do that, go to YorkCountySheriff.com. Sign up for Notify Me alerts so you don't miss out on all the cool things happening here at the York County Sheriff's Office, despite what you might hear in the news lately. All right, folks. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Behind the Badge.